One of the most sad things, I think, for God must be all the wasted potential that he sees. He's set up so much in the lives of individuals, in the lives of his collective people, that doesn't come to fulfillment. And unfortunately, this has been the whole narrative of his dealings with people. And I think, therefore, it must thrill him when we at least make some response to continue with his program, to say yes to him, to respond to all the nudges that he gives us. Now, a large percentage of the Bible, of the Old Testament, is taken up with the prophecies about the restoration that are found in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, a number of the minor prophets. And when you compare those prophecies with actually what happened when a few of the exiles did return, it's just tragic. In Isaiah 66, for example, it says that the whole nation could have been revived in a day. And when they started rebuilding Jerusalem in Nehemiah 4, the opposition, the Samaritan opposition, mocked them. Will they finish this work in a day? Well, in fact, they could have done. But the rebuilding went ahead, and yet it's clear that it was not according to what potentially was possible. They say, will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish since they're burned? Yes, they could have revived those stones, and indeed they did revive them to some degree. But the stones could have been laid with bright colours, it says in Isaiah 54, but that isn't what happened. And so those prophecies of Isaiah 54 become reapplied and reinterpreted in Revelation to the things of the kingdom to be established at the Lord's return. Not maybe in a literal sense, but in a more symbolic sense. So the essence of the word of prophecy comes true, but not in the way, literal way, that it could have done. Now, this idea of reviving the stones because they had been filled with the Spirit, as it were, this is the language of Ezekiel 37, the dry bones. Well, the dry bones prophecy could have come true at the restoration. There were, as it were, the bones of dead Judah in captivity, and God gave them the Spirit to revive them. And they could have stood upon their feet, a great army, and conquered the nations that were dominating them, be it Babylon, be it Persia, and re-established the kingdom of God in the land of Israel. Well, they complain in Nehemiah 4, hear our God, for we are despised. And there's a lot of talk about that, about being reproached and despised. You know, the restoration prophecies, Isaiah 51, for example, verse 7, urge the returning exiles, don't fear the reproach of men. And there was plenty of that reproach, as I say, Nehemiah 4, verse 4, hear our God, for we are despised, turn back their reproach on their own head. And Isaiah 51 went on, for the Lord will comfort Zion, he'll comfort all her waste places. Listen to me, be obedient to me, you that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law, do not fear the reproach of men. And as I say, this word for reproach is used throughout the experience of the rebuilders of the city of Jerusalem in Nehemiah. Nehemiah 1, 2, 4, 5, all uses the same word for how they were reproached, but they needn't have been dragged down by that, because they were told in Isaiah 51, don't fear that reproach. The dead stones really could be revived. Well, the sad thing is, they didn't continue to make use of the work of the Spirit, because according to Ezekiel 37, the Spirit had been put into the bones, and the people of God could have arisen, a great army. And then perhaps the invasion of Ezekiel 38 would have happened and been destroyed. And then the repentant Judah would have then rebuilt the temple as defined and commanded in Ezekiel 40-48. But all that didn't happen. So then they were told to rebuild the city, and we're told that the people did build the wall and the people had a mind to work, Nehemiah 4 verse 6, and that's the very phrase used about the building of the tabernacle in Exodus 35 and Exodus 36, where again the Spirit is given to the builders of the tabernacle as it was given potentially to the builders or rebuilders of Jerusalem and the temple. But they didn't make use of it. It's rather like Paul says to the Corinthians, you've been filled with the Spirit in all ways, you've got all these gifts. But then he says, I can't write to you as unto spiritual people, but as unto carnal, as unto unspiritual. So when we're baptized, we are given the Spirit in the sense that God's Spirit begins to work in our lives, but we can deny that. We can just get on with our secular lives and not follow the leadings of God. So, again in Nehemiah 4, Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is fading and there's much rubbish. We're not able to build the wall. And yet God's servants Israel had been told to take pleasure in her stones and favour even the dust of it. And then when the Lord will build up Zion, he will appear in his glory. That's Psalm 102. But what did they do? The few Jews who did return, and most of them chose to stay in Babylon, the few who did return didn't want to live in Jerusalem. You get that in Nehemiah 11. They wanted to just carve out a bit of land for themselves, farmsteads in the countryside. And the strength of those who were shifting the rubble was diminished. They didn't take pleasure in the stones of Zion. In Isaiah 40, it says that those who did return could have mounted up as eagles. And that's the word used for mounting up as eagles in Isaiah 40, 31. It's the same word used throughout Ezra and Nehemiah for going up, mounting up to Jerusalem from Babylon to rebuild the temple. And they could have been then as the cherubim, which Ezekiel saw in vision leaving the city, which would have returned. But no, instead, they just complain, our strength is decayed. And there's much rubbish, we're not able to build the wall. So they stumbled, as it were, in all this. Well, it's such a shame that so much potential was wasted, but this is how it is. Yet Zechariah 12:8 had said, in that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David. But instead they cowered in fear from those who came to fight against Jerusalem, and they now complain that the strength of the builders of the wall is feeble. But those who are feeble among them can be as David, Zechariah 12. And this is so true with us. The kingdom is possible, and not only is the kingdom possible, but dynamic service of God is possible. But we complain, we don't have the resources, that I'm too weak, that I can this, I can that. And yet God will empower us. This is the promise. This is the promise of the Spirit. And yet if we deny the Spirit, as some folks do, say, oh, your Holy Spirit's not active today, well, you know, I suppose you never will be empowered by that which you absolutely deny. But also it comes to the ultimate question, which is, do you want that? Or do you really want to get on with your secular agenda, with your service of God as, well, a sort of an extra, as a sort of hobby that's culturally sort of tacked on to the general thrust of your life, when the general thrust of your life is unfortunately just like that of anybody else in the world. We're called to do God's work. We are here as his servants. We were freed from Egypt, as Israel were freed from Egypt by the crossing of the Red Sea, which is like our baptism, so that, as God says, they might serve me, no longer serving Pharaoh, but serving me. Now, we are his servants. We are not servants of ourselves and our own secular natural desires. We are servants of him. And that means that we have specific things that we are to do for him. And he will give us that power. Now, the tragedy is that, as I say, most of the Jews gave a bit of money. to those who did want to return, but they remained in Babylon, and those who did return, as you see from Haggai, got on with building their own houses and left the house of God in ruins. And when they did finally finish it, it was nothing like the temple and city which had been commanded for them to build in Ezekiel 40 to 48. That's why that whole system there is described in Ezekiel 43 as the law of the house. That it was a commandment, more than a prophecy, it was a commandment. That explains why when it was all built, I think the more spiritually minded wept when the temple that they did manage to build was dedicated. They wept. Others rejoiced. They thought, oh, this is great. We've got a temple again. Whereas others wept because they saw how the potential had been wasted and how the ideal situation had not come about. Now, we ought to learn from all this. Ask God, pray to God on your knees. Do pray on your knees, by the way. Pray to God on your knees to show you those good works that he had in mind for you from the foundation of the world, Ephesians 2 verse 10, and to ask him to show them to you and give yourself with your whole heart to following where he's leading you to do those good works, and he will empower you with the Spirit. I don't mean miraculous gifts, speaking in tongues, all this kind of stuff. All that is over. But the Spirit of God is active. Believe me, it is very active. And he will empower you to do his work to his glory.